I have never been what you might call a gifted athlete. And most of the time that's all right because, well, somebody has to be average or below average. But it meant that there were some potentially humiliating moments on the playground growing up whenever we had to choose teams for some sport or activity. You remember the drill. Two kids that we all acknowledged were the best athletes among us would act as captains, and then they would take turns selecting their teammates from among the rest of us. And so the rest of us were suddenly objects of great scrutiny and judgment. Captains wanted the most agile, the strongest, the fastest. And we tried to be cool and nonchalant while this was going on. And maybe some kids tried some way to make themselves look bigger and stronger. But inside, we were all begging, please, please, please pick me, choose me, pick me next. Because you know, as that pool of available teammates got smaller and smaller and you were still unchosen, it was pretty clear what everybody thought of you. For athletes much better than I, this judgment and selection followed them. When they got from going to high school to going to college, stakes have never been higher with all this new NIL money, especially in football. And so athletes have special trainers and they send out videos and they go to camps and they have rating services all designed to say, pick me, please, choose me. And then if they're able to go from college to the NFL, they have to go to what's called a combine, where they're poked and prodded and tested and examined like prized livestock. Only the most gifted athletes are chosen. The rest are rejected. But here's the thing. The most gifted athletes don't always make the best players. I saw an interview with Kirk Herbstreit on the Pat McAfee Show a couple of weeks ago, and they were asking Kirk about the Ohio State football team, his former team, because apparently they went out and spent a fortune this year to get a bunch of gifted athletes. And they wanted him to say whether or not he thought they were going to dominate. And he just laughed and said, when has Ohio State not had a roster full of gifted athletes? It doesn't matter how gifted they are individually. It matters whether they can come together and play as a team. And he's right. Football is a team sport. Those flashy receivers would never catch a ball if the quarterback didn't throw it to them. And the quarterback could never throw a ball to him unless he had protection and time from his blockers. And his blockers would never be able to give that protection and time unless the defense and the special team could get the ball. So the greatest players are those who recognize this, who appreciate their teammates and actually support them and build them up and encourage them and try to make them look good. Those gifted athletes who are only interested in promoting themselves, who take credit for all of their victories and successes and blame others for all of their failures, who harshly criticize their teammates and their coaches and belittle others, they will never be great players. The Roman legions recognize this. I don't know if they ever played football, but they were known as the greatest fighting force of their time. And historians tell us that one of the reasons for their greatness was in their training. They were trained to be devoted to each other. From the very beginning, they were taught that their own lives were not as important as the lives of the people on either side of them. They were taught that fighting for the glory of Rome was just a side benefit, that who they were really fighting for was their comrades. And so whenever they faced an enemy, instead of cutting and running to save his own hide, each soldier stood in place, not for himself, but to protect his fellows. And when you've got a whole unit of soldiers that are all thinking of others ahead of themselves, you've got a formidable force. They were great. Jesus tries to teach his own followers about greatness this morning in today's gospel lesson. They're arguing who is the greatest based on their understanding of what is great. So they're probably glorifying themselves and taking credit for all of their successes and blaming others for all of their failures, and in order to make themselves look better, they're probably criticizing and belittling others. But Jesus has been talking about sacrifice, and he tells them, look, you'll never be great doing that. If you want to be great, you have to be a servant to others. You have to put their interests ahead of your own. Life is a team sport. We all belong to teams. It helps us identify who's on the inside, who's on the outside. Some teams we sort of got on automatically, our race, our nationality, our language, our family. Some teams we belong to because of what school we chose to go to, or what job we took, or what interests and hobbies we pursue, or these days, which political candidate we support. And there are still other teams that secretly were begging, please, 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 choose me. The elite, the honored, the attractive, the privileged. And so we do things to try to make ourselves look better. You know, we buy the finest clothes, we buy the coolest car, we buy the biggest house, we go to the best places, and we want everybody to know it. And maybe we take credit for all of our successes and blame others for all of our failures. And maybe, especially toward those who are not on the team we want to belong to, we belittle others and criticize others and even demonize others. We will never be great teammates doing that. We will never be great, especially if we want to be on our Lord's team. Because our Lord promotes servant leadership. And that does not make Jesus unique. Great football coaches do that. Roman generals did that. What makes Jesus unique are the choices he makes and who's going to be on the team with him. In explaining that to his disciples today, he takes a child and embraces her and puts her in the midst of them. One theologian says, this is no sermon prop, this is no illustration. He's saying, this child is part of my chosen group. And that must have been shocking to these men, because in their society, children occupied a place somewhere between women and slaves, and that's not very good. Men love their own children, but children in general, like this bystander, children were considered of no importance whatsoever, of no relevance. They were supposed to be quiet. They were supposed to stay with the women, stay out of the affairs of men. Jesus says, whoever welcomes this child, in my name, welcomes me. And that word welcome in the original Greek can also mean care for, to show kindness to. Whoever cares for this insignificant, social, low-life nobody cares for me. The hardest thing about being on our Lord's team is that he chooses everybody. He chooses the poor and the rich, the smart and the not so smart. He chooses Republicans and Democrats and Tar Heels and the Wolfpack and Mountaineers. He chooses people of different races who speak different languages, who come from different places. He chooses the average and the above average and the below average. And if we want to be great teammates, then we're supposed to listen to them and accept them and promote their interests, which means we've got to practice patience, we've got to practice generosity, we've got to practice some humility. And that's hard, as hard, except that there is a certain freedom in it. Because, you know, when we're trying to measure up to something, when we're begging, please, please choose me, when we're trying so hard to be accepted, we have to deal with those inner voices. You know the ones I'm talking about that always say, you know, you're not really good enough. You're not skinny enough. You're not attractive enough. You're not rich enough. You're not smart enough. You're not important enough. You're not gifted enough. You're not lovable enough. You're not worthy enough. When we take the focus off ourselves and start focusing on others, it silences all those voices, and we realize we're already accepted. We've already been chosen. We are already loved as members of our Lord's team. And there's nothing we can do to get thrown off that team. It's just a question of how great a teammate do we want to be? Because you see, on our Lord's team, there's no hierarchy like on other teams. There's no up here and down there. Instead, our Lord's team is a circle with our Lord in the center of it. And you know, when you go around a circle, you find out that the first turns out to be the last.